And everybody said, amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Abby. We're continuing our series today, our New Year's, New Decade series called 2020. This series, the goal of this series is really just transformation, to allow God to begin to transform us into to the best version of ourselves. Transformation is my word for 2020. It's the word I feel like God has called us to this year as a church, and we're going to do everything we can throughout this whole year to kind of keep pointing us back to allowing God to do His transforming work in our lives and in our relationships. Our theme verse for this series is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." This is your spiritual act of worship. And he says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So we started out in this series saying that, you know, in order to begin to experience this transforming work of God in our lives, it begins with a renewed mind. And we decided, as we step into 2020, that we're gonna set the tone, in this new year, right? We're going to set that tone, that we ask God to do His transforming work by the renewing of our mind. To begin to see the lies that maybe we're speaking into our own self, or others are speaking into us, and begin to speak God's truth into those lies, so that we can demolish those and get rid of those and begin to really be transformed by God and live the life He has called us to begin to fulfill His good, pleasing, and perfect will in our life. And then we talked about last week that not only does it take a renewed mind, but it also takes refocused eyes. We talked about beginning to have the eyes of Jesus, to begin to really see as Jesus sees, begin to have the compassion that He has for our eyes to be involved in looking into the harvest fields and ready to go and be a part of God's what God's calling us to do. Renewed mind, refocused eyes. And then today, the one that God has really been beating into me in this new year is, in order to be transformed by Him, it's going to take a recommitted heart, a recommitted heart. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's what God is calling me to in this new year, this new decade, that it's time for me to begin to evaluate my heart again and to recommit my heart to Him. One of the things I need transformed in 2020, and I've shared this with you before, so you know what it is patience on the road. All right, I need a recommitted heart in that area of my life. As I was coming back from Birmingham, as Kim and I were coming back from Birmingham over the holidays, I'm just it's bumper to bumper, and I'm going, I'm trying to encourage people around me. Let's go, right? We're never going to get home. Let's, put the pedal to the metal. Come on, let's move, right? Or maybe, you ever had that time where you're sitting at a red light, and there's a person in front of you, and the light turns green, and they just sit there, and their head is down, right? You know what they're doing? Yeah, they're texting or Instagramming or whatever you do, right? And I've shared this with you before. I'm not a horn blower. I mean, I don't know. I think, maybe because I'm a pastor and I don't want to offend anybody. Maybe they're a part of the church or they know me, And so I'm not a horn blower. And I've shared with you before, but my son and even Kim in her wiser years, they are horn blowers, son. They will get so frustrated with me, they will reach over and wah, wah, And I don't do that, right? I don't do that. I can't, for whatever reason, I can't force. But I am, I think I do have the gift of teaching. And so I think as your pastor that every once in a while I do need to kind of, maybe not blow the horn, but maybe just give you a little, come on, let's go. It's time for some of us, I think, to get moving toward a heart that is recommitted to God. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says it this way, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Fully committed. And so God's just been impressing on me this year, Monty, I need a heart that's fully committed to me. That it's recommitted, that it begins to make sure that I'm first in your life. Not so that Monty can be made famous or so that I can be blessed, but so that he can strengthen me to fulfill the will and the purpose that he has for my life. It takes a recommitted heart. And the sad thing, I think, today is that in our culture, just with technology and the speed of life and how, you know, it's speeding up the pace of change, people are more and more reluctant to make commitments. And the Bible says that nothing affects your life more than the commitments that you choose to make. In fact, as I think about my commitments, they really affect me in three different ways. The things I commit myself to, they show my values, what's important to me. The things that you and I commit our lives to, they not only show our values or what is important to us, they begin to shape our life. You know, our life is shaped around the commitments that we have. And finally and ultimately, they begin to determine our destiny, the things that we commit to. And of course, one of the most important commitments you can make is your commitment to Jesus Christ. And as I thought about commitments, every commitment, you know, there is a cost, right? There's a consequence and there is a cost that comes with that. Every commitment, regardless of which one you make, has a cost to it. And I think sometimes, maybe as pastors and churches, we try to make this following, becoming a following of Jesus a little bit too easy. And that we really need to understand that there is a cost. There is a cost to following, to being a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is very upfront about it. He doesn't beat around the bush. He's not vague. He just lays it out, right? He lays down on the horn. You know, it's not just a little beep beep. It's a full out all horn. And in Luke 14:26, see what he says here. He says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Wow! Hold on now, hold on, right? Jesus is saying, you want to be my followers, you must love me more than your own father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, he says, you can't be my disciple. He's very clear about the cost of following him, the cost of commitment. He's saying, I expect to be first place in your life. You have to love me more than anybody or anything else. He says, if you want to be my follower, you have to commit to me. I mean, it's a pretty audacious cost, right? He says again, you got to love me more than your parents, more than your husband, your wife, more than your kids, more than your life. And that's a pretty strong cost. And there's no human being that would ever say that to you. But Jesus does. And the only difference is he has a right to. Why? Because he made you, he created you, he loves you, he has a plan for your life. He died on the cross for you. And nobody else has done that. Nobody else can make those claims in your life, you know, that you were made by them, that you were planned for a purpose by him, and that they died for you. Jesus says, hey, I gave my life for you, and I expect your life in return. And I think he has a right to it. He says, I demand first place in your life if you're going to follow me. And then in Luke 9, Jesus says it this way, again, laying down on the horn and saying, hey, let's go. He says, as they were walking along a road, a man said to him, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, hold on. You know, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You be careful, because we're not staying in the greatest hotels, right? And then he said to another man, follow me. And this guy replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying, listen, there is no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. He's saying, seize the day, right? He's saying, beep, beep, come on, let's go. Let's go. It's a new year with a new opportunity to recommit your heart fully to God. And here's what I've discovered as I have thought about this. You know, a recommitted heart needs to move on from really three things that we struggle with. It kind of holds us back. And, you know, as I look into my own life, first of all, we need to move on from our past. We have a tendency, I think, to over-exaggerate yesterday, good and bad. We talk about the good old days, how back then everything was so much better, they were good old days. And so we have this tendency to over-exaggerate the past, either positive or with the negative. You know, those bad decisions or pains or hurts or mistakes that we kind of keep carrying into our day. I think that's why we sing the song at New Year's Eve, Auld Lang Syne. You remember that song? You sing that song? Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and Auld Lang Syne? The Scottish man, Robert Burns, who penned that tune, Auld Lang Syne literally means days gone by. Days gone by. Or my translation is, yesterday ended last night, so get over it. Right? Let's get over it. It literally asks the question, what should I do about yesterday? I think, which is why we sing it at the beginning of a new year, because we are at this junction in our life, and we ask, what do I do with that stuff? He literally says, what should you bring into the new year and what should you leave behind? I'm convinced that most of the time we do the opposite of what we should do. We bring into the new year the junk of yesterday and we forget about all the good stuff. In other words, we bring the bad and leave the good when what we should do is bring the good and leave the bad. And so let me ask you a question this morning. What should you bring into this new year of 2020, and what should you leave behind and forget and move on from? Auld Lang Syne says there are some days in the past that need to be forgotten. And we can take the good and leave the bad for days gone by. And as a follower of Christ, you can leave the bad under the blood of Jesus Christ and begin to let God do what He does best, begin to forgive us and help move us forward into the best version of ourselves. We need to kind of clear our history, right? Just push that button. Doesn't need to be on our hard drive anymore. And I'm talking about little stuff and big. I'm talking about divorces and bankruptcies and, you know, health issues and whatever that event is that defines you, that's begin to affect how you view yourself or how you view God or how you view others. The prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now, right now he's doing it. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? He says, don't you see it? You know, it's like, beep, beep, don't you see it? Come on. Let's go. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I love what Paul says in Philippians 3. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I personally think this is one of the best New Year's Day verses in the entire Bible, because if you want to know what to do right now at this point in your life, follow this verse right here. You need to forget the bad and build on it if you can. If not, let it go and press on and renew your mind. Get your eyes set on God and His purposes for you. Recommit your heart and expect great things for this coming year. We need to move on from our past. Second, we need to move on from our patterns. The habits, you know, we've begun to develop in our lives, the habits, the addictions, and I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's your phone, maybe it's social media, you know, maybe it's your language, right? Maybe swearing is starting to show up in your language. You're starting to say words by accident. You know, you've picked up some bad patterns in your life. You know, Paul said, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Be transformed. Recommit your heart to the things of God. And again, that's why I think 21 days of prayer and fasting is so important. as I kind of walk through these 21 days. Really, there's only 5 days left in the week, so I just would encourage you to come for the next 5 days. We go all the way to Sunday, but in here every morning, 6:30 to 7:30, if you can be here, come and begin to move on from some maybe patterns that you're struggling with and ask God to help you. But, you know, there's some things that some of you need to fast. And I'm not talking about food necessarily, but anything in your life that you need to say, I'm not going to let that master me anymore. I mean, it can be good stuff, you know, that's okay to be in your life, but not okay for it to be mastering your life. You know, I think about, you know, my stuff. I got a lot of stuff that I need to begin to move away from so that I can recommit my heart to God. But, you know, one thing is really social media. I've decided that I'm not going to look at social media in the morning. You say, why not all day? Why not 21 days? Okay, I'm not that good, all right? Your pastor's not that strong. But in the morning, I don't know how many of you get up and the first thing you do is check your social. I mean, it's hard not to look at, you know, Instagram when you got grandbabies popping up there on all the time, right? You know, but I'm committing the morning time to be with my God, to focus on Him first. What is it in your life that you just need to lay down? You know, fasting, it's not a punishment, it's where I do the best I can to separate from the things of the world while I focus on my God. Isaiah 58:6 says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. We need to move on from patterns that we've begun to struggle with. And then finally, we need to move on from our pains, those things that bring pain into our life, things that maybe we've done that have brought hurt and pain into our life or someone else has done to us. It's amazing to me how we respond to our pains in different ways. Some people, and this is me here, some people try to respond by burying it, by just forgetting it. How many of you do that? You know, when something hurts, whatever, you just kind of push it down, right? You put it out of sight, out of mind, and you just kind of stuff it. It's not a good idea, you know, because it's always there, just ready to poof. But, you know, some of us do that. Some people try to run from it, right? There's many ways to try to escape, you know, whether it's through alcohol or drugs, or you go to bed with people you don't even know, or you just kind of throw yourself into work, get involved in work. Some people try to pass it on to someone else, right? Pass it off to someone else. You try to blame others, which isn't good either, right? You know, it's my parents' fault. It's my wife, my husband, my boss, my job, the government, and we play the blame game. We just blame others for what's going on in our lives. And then some people, and again, this is what I'll do a lot of times. Some people just try to beat themselves up. We start thinking about what a bad person we are, or, you know, I'm always making bad decisions, and we begin to think, you know, I'm not good, I'm not strong enough, I'm not gifted enough or talented enough. And this is what I'll do. I'll fall into this and begin just to beat myself up with my own words, with my own thoughts, right? And I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but this goes all the way back in my life. I can remember in fifth grade being selected to be captain of the patrols, which I thought was, wow, look at me, I'm the man, you know? And then a couple weeks after that, the teacher that was over that came to me and said, Monty, I think I made a mistake. I should have, you know, you're not really a great leader. You're selling this to a fifth grader. Come on. And he said, I think I should have chose Paul to be the captain of the patrols. I'm still talking about it. Right? Move on, Monty. Like, beep, beep. You know, get out. Come on, Monty. Move on. But I still, you know, those words just from the fifth grade, I still struggle. I'm not a great leader. I got it. You know, are you sure that I'm supposed to be? You know, and I have to, you know, it wasn't really until college that I had a coach kind of speak good words into me and said, Monty, you know, you're a winner because of your relationship with God. You're a winner because you find your identity in Him and not in all this stuff. And it was then that God began to say, come on, let's move on. Quit beating yourself up. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, Monty. Let's go. Let's quit saying, man, I wish I could have, would have, should have done something different. Don't spend time on that kind of stuff. You can't live your life looking too long in the rearview mirror. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new life is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I love that word, reconcile, reconciliation. Reconcile really means to bring the balance to zero. So first of all, you have to acknowledge that there is a balance, right? There is a balance. The things, you know, I did or others did to me, you know, there's a balance there in my life. And God says, I want to bring that balance, you know, I want you to bring that balance to me and let me bring it to zero. You know, I can't start the next chapter of my life if I keep holding on to the past and the patterns and the pains. And there's a power available if you are a follower of Christ. There's a power available for your heart to begin to be changed, to allow God to begin to do his transforming work, renewing your mind, refocusing your eyes, and recommitting your heart. Jesus kind of says it this way in Matthew 4:17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That word repent, metanoeo, really means to change your mind, right? To change your mind, to refocus your eyes, and recommit your heart. You know, to change the patterns that are going on, and the things that you are given loyalty to, and turn and begin to focus on God. Begin to put him first in your life. To recommit your heart totally and completely to him. You know, I love how it says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven it has come near, you know, and I begin to think about some of us need a new king, right? We keep trying to control our life and be the king of our own kingdom. We keep putting self back on the throne of our life, and what we need to do is repent and walk away from the kingdom of Monty, right, and into the kingdom of God, and let him change you, let him change me, transform me. God, I'm going to recommit and go all in and let you be in control. And we need to do this because he is near, closer than we think. Let's give him our whole heart, a heart that is fully committed to him. And so here's what I know. A recommitted heart will do these things. A recommitted heart will get closer to God. A recommitted heart will get closer to God. And you say, Monty, I already love Jesus. Yeah, I know that. But get closer in this year. Let's get closer. Listen, I love God as well. And I'm probably closer to him than I've ever been. But as I spend time in this new year praying and pouring out my heart to him, here's what I begin to understand is that I need to get closer to God. I need to get closer to God. If I want him to transform me into all that he wants me to be, I got to get closer to him. And so here's my commitment to God and really to you. I'm going to get closer to God this year than I ever have in my life. I'm going to do whatever I can and go hard after a closer, more passionate, filled relationship with my God this year. I'm going to have more passion, more gumption than ever before in my pursuit of him. And that's my commitment to my God. It's my commitment to you. And listen, I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for you. I so want to be an example of all of us, encouraging all of us to recommit our hearts to God. You need to do the same thing. It's like, come on. Let's go. Join me in recommitting our heart to him. James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. How? Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Wow. I need a heart check because evidently, you know, I've let my loyalty go to some other things than God. But not this year. Right? Let's go. This year, I'm going to recommit my heart to him. Make sure he is first place. And I get it. It's a radical call. It's a radical call, and there's a cost to it. You know, living with this all-in, committed heart is not easy. It's not easy. But if I want my God to strongly support me, I must go all in. Someone said, if you want something you never had, then you must do something you've never done. And so I don't know what that means for you. What do you need to do to get closer to God? What is that in your life? Maybe it's as simple as coming to church more, you know? I really believe with all my heart, if you came to church 52 Sundays out of the year, God would do His transforming work in your life. You would begin to experience a better version of you. Now, that seems a little ridiculous. Trust me, I get it, right? But what if it was 42 Sundays? I don't know what that is for you. Maybe for you, it's just spending more time in prayer and in His Word every day. Maybe it's being a part of a study group or a small group or a D group. All I know is this, is the recommitted heart will get closer and closer to God. A recommitted heart will also get closer to a friend. Right? You need to be accountable to someone. You can't go there alone. You need someone that you can be honest with. That you can really say, hey, let's step into this. Let's recommit our heart in 2020. Let's go all in. And listen, you need somebody to help you do that. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. If you want to grow in faith and you want to persevere in the race of life, you need to hang around men and women who have a passion for God. And I've asked you this before. Think about this for just a moment. Who is it that you know? What name comes to your mind that when you're around them, your faith just begins to grow and it soars? Or when you're with them, you feel drawn to be more like Jesus Christ. Listen, if you want to stay on fire for God, one of the things that you need to do is hang around other people who want to be on fire for God. So what person of faith and godliness can strengthen your walk? And just write that person's name down. Somebody that you really know that you would say, if I want to grow and I want to persevere in this new year, I want to keep being around that person. You need to gather a team to run with you, to help you, to encourage you, to support you. If you don't have anybody running with you, you're not going to make it to the end of the race. You're going to give up. You're going to be discouraged. And you're not going to become the woman that you were intended to be. You're not going to become the man that God created you to be. You need some other people in your life who are encouraging you, spurring you on, helping you run the race. There's that old African proverb that says, to run fast, run by yourself. But to run far, run with other people. And I need to realize that when I'm running the race of life to become the man or the woman God wants me to be, I can't do it alone. I need others to grow with me. Number three, a recommitted heart will get closer to your purpose and to your passions. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in all the Bible is Romans 12:9-16. It says this. Paul says, you know, your love must be sincere. What? What's that mean? Well, here's what I mean. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. That real word, the Greek word is gumption. Keep your gumption, right? Keep your gumption serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. You know, as you begin to get around people and as you begin to really get closer to God, you'll get closer to your passions, to your purpose in life. And so let's grow this year together. Let's grow toward our purpose and toward our passions. And we want to help you do that in whatever way we can as we step into this new year. And then finally, a recommitted heart will do greater things. A recommitted heart, a recommitted heart will do greater things. Let's do greater things in 2020. You know, as I've been praying over this word, transformation, and allowing God to transform our lives, real transformation comes from the inside out. It comes from the inside out. It's when you know you are really on a God-driven adventure. It's when you're doing something in life that really matters. It's your purpose. It's your passion. God begins to use those in your life to do greater things and transform you to do great. John 14:12 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. We'll do the works that Jesus has been doing." And then he goes on saying, "And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." He's given us his Holy Spirit to empower us, to transform us, to do even greater things. He's looking back and forth across this place to see a heart that is fully recommitted to him, so that he can strengthen you with the presence of his Spirit. Begin to live a transformed life. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according not to our own strength, but according to his power that is at work within us." So here's what I know. If I dedicate my life to something greater than myself, God will begin to fill my life with passion and purpose. And that's where real transformation comes from. I've had a couple of funerals over the last couple of weeks, and just walking with people and family through the grieving of the loss of a loved one. And through those days, I just began to think, and, you know, I thought about how we all have these grieving moments, right? Grieving because of something that has happened that you wished would have never happened. The loss of a loved one, or grieving over a word said, or a text sent, or grieving over a decision made. And what happens if you're not careful is you just get stuck sitting in life, and it's kind of staring in the rearview mirror of life, and the light will be green. The light will be green, but you don't even notice it. You don't even notice it. And so God, in love, comes and says, "Come on. Let's move on. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Listen, you know, we can't go back and do something over, you know, that we've done or said or that's happened to us, right? We just gotta begin to walk forward. I love what Zig Ziglar said. We cannot start over, but we can begin now and make a new ending. And we serve a God that wants to do that in our lives. And he is really the only one that can. And so my prayer today is that you will join me and decide that it's time to commit or recommit your heart to God, so that he can begin or continue to transform you into the best version of yourself, so that he can begin through the renewing of your mind and the refocusing of your eyes and the recommitting of your heart, he can begin to transform you to be more and more and more like Jesus Christ. Because it's when you're walking in that place, he will begin to help you see and discover and have clarity of his will, his perfect and pleasing will for your life and for my life. So will you do that as we step into this new year? Will you kind of hear the of the love of God that says, "Hey, let's go. Let's go. Let's step into this new year and allow God to transform us into who he's called us to be." Pray with me, please. I just want to encourage you to be still here in this moment. We're almost through. There's no place you need to be right now. I just want us to spend some time in prayer. So every head bowed, every eye closed, so that you can just really focus on you and God. And Father, I pray for every person in this room today. God, I pray for them in this moment that you will begin a process of healing them, Father, of letting them step out of the things from the past, away from the patterns that they've fallen into, God, and that they're struggling with, and to move on from the pain and begin to step into the best version of themselves. Father, bring healing for the person that's grieving over what has happened. Begin to give them a freedom to know that you are with them. Give them power and the grace and the strength to let the days gone by just go, to let them go, Father, and step into your hope, your life, your forgiveness. That, Father, today they will right now commit or recommit their heart to you. And that, God, as they do that, that they will begin to experience that hope, that forgiveness. They will begin to experience that transformed life. A renewed mind, refocused eyes, and a heart recommitted totally and completely to you, oh God. So listen, if you're here this morning, and that's the prayer of your heart, I'm not going to ask you to come down, but I do think it takes a bold step. If you know that God is not on the throne of your life, and you are ready to give your heart totally and completely to the King Jesus, and you want to be included in this prayer right now, will you just quickly lift your hand and say, "That's me, Monty. That's me. This year, 2020, I want to just recommit my heart fully and completely to Him." Yeah, just lift your hands up and back down. So many, yeah. Just pray this with me. Jesus, be my King. Forgive me for trying to be my own king. God, come in and be the Lord of my life. Live in me and transform me into the best version of me. And so today, right now, God, I repent. I change my mind. I refocus my eyes. I recommit my heart to you. Today, God, I put my faith in you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.